I've had these scriptures really going over in her heart and her mind, reading over them probably for the, I'm going to say the last couple of weeks, that this seemingly we've been thinking on some of these things and reading through them. But as always, I don't know how to put a message together. I don't even know how to deliver one. I don't know how to do nothing. But mind God this morning. And I want to start reading, I guess, over in the book of James. And then we'll be going over into Second Samuel. We'll be turning over into there some. But like I say, let's just pray this morning, because it'll take the Lord to put this together, and it'll take the Lord to be a help to anybody. Familiar place, and we preached not long ago, I guess, from some of this right over here in the book of James in the first chapter. But I think I'm going to read maybe in the 12th verse. Sorry, I'll just start right there. In the first chapter of the book of James, 12th verse, he said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And I want to stop right there for a minute and truly, truly desire your prayers this morning. I've got some thoughts on our heart back over in 1 Samuel. And if you want to turn over there into 1 Samuel, I guess where I'll end up maybe around in the 19th chapter there. But I thought, and I'm going to try to take my time this morning and just try to bring this out and how the Lord's give it to us. But you think about that, it says over there, every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and in sin, it brings forth death in a life. And we got into this thinking in these scriptures. We've been reading a lot about David and had Absalom on my heart for weeks now. And I thought in that, conception is when something begins a birth, and it's when it begins a life. When something is conceived, it's starting a life. And it said when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And then eventually that sin will bring forth death in our life. And like I say, it'll take the Lord to bring this out this morning, but I got to thinking, and you bear with me. I really don't mean to be a stubborn and a stammering this morning around, but I want to bring this out and bring it out right this morning. I got to thinking there on Absalom. And that's a son of David. I think it was his third son, his third child, and he was born of a woman. And if I don't say her name right, that name, if I don't say it right, Maacan, and she was a daughter of the king of Geshur. And I may not be saying that just right. But you think about this son Absalom, and he came from this mother Maacan, which was the daughter of the king of Geshur. And if you go back and you go to searching them things out, and you go to finding out these people, these Gershites, were a people that was over in the land of Israel, and you can find the scripture that actually says that the Israelites, they never expelled them from that land.
And David, in his life, and we all know that David took several wives, he had concubines, he brought things into his life that brought trouble upon him down through time. And this is just one particular one that the Lord's brought out to us here. Through this lady, this man was of a people that was a hindrance unto God's people. And he was of a people, this king of the Geshurites there, and I apologize if I'm saying that wrong. But those people were a hindrance unto God, a people that was to be cast out of the land when they went into it. And it was something that they left there, and they never expelled them people and never got rid of them from their lives. And as David comes down, you can see a time in David's life when Saul was pursuing him. You can find when he was dwelling over there in the land of Ziklag in the people of the Philistines. He went out from among his people running from Saul, and he stayed right in the midst of the Philistine people. And you can find in David's life where at one point in his life he was fighting them Gershites, and he went in and he would destroy them people. He left not woman, not child, not man, nor anything. He went in and destroyed what was supposed to be destroyed. Trying our best to bring this out of it to be so plain this morning. God wants it to be so plain this morning. David fought against these people in his life. And there came a time when he took a wife of the king of the Gershites. And when he took of that wife, there was a child conceived. And he was, Absalom was not the only child. He had a sister named Tamar. But this child was conceived and brought forth. And his name, if you look up the name of Absalom, it meant the father of peace. His name meant the father of peace. And in my mind, and in snow, I tell you, it's a lot of times I try my best to get in to whatever that God's laying on my heart. And I try to see through the eyes of the ones that God is having to be in preach of. And I got to see in David at this point in his life. And if you read about Absalom, this was a beautiful man, if you can say it that way. The Word of God describes him. He had just a beautiful countenance about him. And no doubt when David saw that child born, he named him the Father of Peace. David thought, this child is going to bring joy to me. This child is going to bring happiness to me. And he had all hopes and aspirations for that child to be great and to bring peace to his life. I want us to understand this morning. He took a wife of a people that he wasn't supposed to be married into. He bore a child with a woman of a people that he was not supposed to be with. He conceived with this, if you'll take that. In our life today, Bobby Griffin, there's things we know we're not supposed to be doing. There's things, Matthew, that's plain and understood in the Word of God that it's sin and that we're not supposed to be partaking in. That we're not supposed, but we get drawn away and enticed. That's every man, every woman, everybody sitting in here has been tempted and tried to be drawn away this week. And when we're drawn away and we're enticed, in other words that you can use for that word enticed, it means to be seduced. To be drawn into something. And when sin, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And you know what the devil does? He tries to paint a picture about that sin in your life. And he says, this is going to be the father of peace for you. This is going to bring joy in your life. This is going to solve all your problems. Not a mother or father in this room right here that ain't stared into the eyes of a newborn child when it was brought into our lives and thought, what a difference this is going to make in my life. Both of my children, Sister Gibson, when they came in my life, I looked at both of them and thought, this is going to bring so much peace to our life. And on so many occasions, they have. But I want you to understand this and see it in the spiritual sense this morning. As David looked into this child Absalom, this beautiful child, and called him the father of peace. It's the same way that men and women today, when they start conceiving sin in their life, they're expecting that to bring joy to their life that they never knew. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. A lust is a carnal desire. It's something that we want. It's something that we think we deserve. And it's something that we chase after in our flesh. David went after something he at one time used to fight against. You understand that? At one time, he destroyed these things in his path to get rid of them because he knew there's an abomination to God. When he was over there with them Philistines, he destroyed everything in there. There's times in even a Christian's life when we fight hard to keep sin out. And then there may come another day when we let our guard down and we let it creep in. And we conceive that sin in our life through lust, and it brings sin. This man, Absalom, was a beautiful man. He found favor. You follow his life, David, would you? You follow his life. As he grew, as he was a young man, he had a brother named Amnon by another wife of David's. And I'm not going to get all in. I'm just giving you just a little. But Amnon lay with Absalom's sister. He raped her, in other words, and took her without her will. Absalom, in his life, when he found this out, he didn't do anything right at that moment. But he had set in his heart for revenge against Amnon. You want to know something about sin? It don't exactly show who it is right at the beginning. He held this in his heart and he found, I think it's, and if I'm wrong, I think it was 2 years down the road, he found a place, Gina, that he could, he got all these people together and he told David, let all the sons come. He saw a day when he could take Amnon's life. And he did so. And you follow after this and you know where he went after this. It displeased David greatly what he done. But David was in his heart, he was actually a little bit happy that Amnon had passed and that Absalom had lived. Absalom, you know where he went? He went back to the land of his mother's father, back to the Gershon. He went back to that land. And he dwelt there for a while. And I won't go through all of it. Read this if you can from about the 13th chapter of the book of 2 Samuel on up into the 20s, the chapter of the book. And you can read this story of how an Absalom was separated from David for a while. And then how he was brought back into David's life again. And he came back in, and David longed to see Absalom. You want to know the thing about sin to this old flesh? It's so enticing when it first comes into your life. Then you realize at some point in your life, this is not a great thing that I've got a hold of here, but your flesh still thinks it's pretty. There's a time when David tried to separate himself from Absalom. There was a time when he let him go, but you want to know something? The whole time, he longed to see Absalom again.
That's just the way we are. In our flesh,
we'll realize that sin's not good. We try to push it away for a little while.
But there's still a love in our flesh for that sin.
And before you know it, you let it come back into your life again.
Absalom came in, found favor in the eyes of David again,
and then you want to know what he started doing? He started trying to win over the hearts of the people. He started trying to find favor in Israel with people. And he did.
And when he did, the next thing you know, David's having to flee Israel because Absalom has got control of all Israel. You know what happens when we let sin creep right back into our life?
Before we know it, it's got control of everything. David's fleeing again after he's took the throne. And I'm preaching saved or lost this morning. You let sin get in your life, and it'll take you over. And it'll run all your joy and all your happiness and all your peace out. David at this point in his life was a miserable man. He wanted so bad to hang on to Absalom. He wanted so bad to rule over Israel. He wanted everything at that time to be peaceful. This child that he had brought into his life in the name of the Father of Peace, this very thing he thought was going to be the answer to all his happiness, brought him more misery, brought him more disruption in his life than any other thing that he could have imagined. Is that not the perfect picture of sin this morning? I'm going to be your best friend. I'm going to make you happy. I'm going to bring you peace. I'm the answer to all your problems. It ain't no different than that serpent beguiling Adam and Eve over there. What did he promise them? Peace, joy. He promised them happiness to be as gods. The devil ain't changed, and neither has sin. In that garden that day, sin was lust was conceived. And what did it bring forth? Sin. Nothing's changed. The day and hour we live in, sin is promoted more than morality, more than any godly thing there is. What's promoted more? Lust. And there's no limits on what you can do and what you can have. As far as the world says, if you want it, go get it. But you follow the example of what happened in David's life with a son named Absalom. That young man came back into his life, ran him out, and he wanted his father dead. He wanted him dead. He tried to bring counsel from the people in that day of how that he could take David's life. He wanted the respect of the people. He built for himself. He built monuments and things to where that he could be lifted up. You want to know what the devil wants out of your life? He don't want to bring you peace. You want to know what sin wants out of your life? It don't want to bring you happiness. It wants to utterly consume you, and it wants to kill you. Why? Because it wants to be glorified. It wants to be lifted up. That's what Absalom wanted. He cared not about his father. I'm getting around to where the message is. It's a time when Absalom's army faced the army of David's. And even at that time, David sent his men out and he said, "Hurt not the young man." He sent these armies out to defeat his enemy after a time in his life when he went in and fought against the very same things and he destroyed and left nothing. But he had developed a love for this son Absalom that he was not seeing straight. He was not thinking straight. He sent these men in to destroy something and told them not to kill it. How do you destroy anything? You've got to get rid of it. But David had a love for Absalom. You know what we do in our lives? We develop a love for sin. And we want it rebuked, and we want to act like that we've got it out of our life, but we don't want it dead. We don't want it killed. Go in there and run it out. He's already run him out before, David. What did he do? He come back stronger. He already got rid of him once. He came back and he took over more of his life. And here he was again. Just get rid of him, but don't kill him. If you want rid of sin, if you want happiness back in your life, you're going to have to kill it. It's going to have to get dead. Too many today, they want to have everything. They want the sin. They want the pleasure for a season. They want it forever. But they don't want to leave Pharaoh's house to get it. You read that in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Moses had to separate himself from the house of Pharaoh. And the Bible said, willing to suffer with the people of God rather than to have pleasure for a season. You know what he had to do? He had to get rid of that in his life. He had to leave Pharaoh's house. It had to be dead to him. David sent his armies out to try to destroy an enemy by not killing him. But the captain of David's armies was a man by the name of Joab. And when Joab went out after this man, he didn't go out there just to slap him on the wrist, David. No. Joab was a man of war, and he knew to get rid of an enemy, you had to kill him. Joab knew Absalom well. And he knew the type of man that he truly was. He could win himself into your life by looking further. And then he was going to take over. And his Absalom was out riding, coming through in the battle. He got his hair hung up in the woods. And there he hung. And this man named Joab come through and he slew him where he hung. And David the whole time hoping and praying that Absalom still lived through the battle. As he come down to this time, this word, baby, we want to start reading a little bit over in the book of 2 Samuel.
There's some messengers sent by David's way to let him know how the battle was going. There was two servants sent. I may start right up in the 18th verse a little bit. There's one came to him, and let me find the verse. They saw this man coming running, and I'll read about the 28th verse, 18th chapter of the book of 2 Samuel. It said, and Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well, and he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, tidings, my lord, the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. And it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people, for the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people got them by stealth that day into the city, and people, and as the people being ashamed, steal away, and they flee in battle. And the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son. And Joab came into the house of the king and said, thou hast shamed this day the faces of all the servants, which this day hath saved thy life, and the lives of thy son and thy daughters, and the lives of thy wives, and the lives of thy concubines. Now listen to this verse. In that thou lovest thy enemies and hatest thy friends. For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. Now listen, in the first of that sixth verse, he says, in that thou lovest thy enemies and hatest thy friends. And I want us to think about that today just a little bit. And I think about in our lives when sin is rebuked and when it should be destroyed, how many today turns back unto that sin and longs for it again in their life. They love their enemies and hatest their friends. That sin brings death in a man's life. What makes a man turn back to it and love it more than he does the life that was given to him by Christ Jesus? I wish somebody could answer me that. I fight the same things everybody else fights. This fleshly rears up on me. These desires of this flesh that every day I fight. But God help a man that would rather have sin in his life than his friends. Who are you talking about, preacher? He said over there, he called us not servants,
in the book of John in the 15th chapter, but he said, I call you friends. How many today is wanting to just push sin aside for a little while, keep it in their lives, and they want God to bring peace to them, God to bring happiness to them? You can't serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other. Do you know who David was hating at this time? God. And he was loving his enemy. At least it's out here chasing sin and a following after the flesh. Oh, they get mad if you tell them. But it's the truth. They love sin more than they love God. There's been times in my life I put sin before I did God. And Joab spoke straight to David. He's ashamed. You got these people ashamed that they overcome something in their life. That God prevailed. When we turn from God and go back to this world, we're bringing shame on the church. We're bringing shame on God's people. We need to get to where Paul was when he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Sin wants, lust wants to conceive in our life. And it makes itself look beautiful. And all it's wanting to do is look pretty to you long enough for you to give in. And once you gave in, there's a child that's born under that, that's evil, it's wicked, and it's ugly. When sin is conceived, what does it bring forth? Death. You show me one pretty picture of death. It's not pretty. It's ugly. You show me one place of peace. There is in that death. But the devil don't want people to see that. He don't want people to understand that. But that's why we've got to keep telling it. That's why we've got to keep sharing it everywhere we go. We've got to show sin for what it is. I'm glad somebody loved me enough to show me what he grew in my sin. Not by just stomping me into the ground, but by loving me enough to show me that. David should have been willing to see that die in his life. His prayer was that he would rather that he would have died and that Absalom would live. God help when we get in a state like that. I thought about this week as I've been studying and thinking on these things. And this is just purely my thoughts into this thing. Why did he up and leave Israel so quick and so easy? When he realized Absalom was a finding favor with the people and he was bringing an uproar against him, why did he not stay right where he was and fight? He was the king of Israel. He had the most mighty men of valor and of war that I know of has ever been recorded. And he tucked tail and run. And I won't be plain. What's going on with our churches today? What's going on with our churches across our land and country? They're tucking tail and running. Hey, when it's time to dig in, we got the greatest, mightiest army that's ever been. The Church of the Living God. We got God, Christ Himself, fighting the battle. And what's the churches doing? Tucking tail and running. It's time to dig in, church. It's time to show who's your God. Do we love sin that much? Do we love our enemy more than we love our friend?
I can say yes, there's a lot that does. And I can tell you, this ain't the popularest message that'll ever get preached. We ain't out for popularity. I'm out for the salvation of souls. I'm out for the redemption, for the remission of sin. We stand and fight for a whole lot of things. Why won't we fight for God? Why won't we stand for God? I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to have to fight, church. Do you realize David had enough men around him who had defended that throne? You read, I've preached them before, I love to read about them men. One man stood so long, a battling over a little field, that his sword cleaved to his hand, and it never got tucked. One man went right down in and took the lions out of their den and killed them. These are mighty men, I'm telling you this morning. These men feared nothing when the king gave his order. Whatever he sent them after, it got conquered. If it can't light a fire in the church of the living God, then you need to get saved. We got the greatest army that's ever been. He's already came and conquered death, hell, and the grave. You know why this child Absalom was even able to be born? Because the people went in to take the land that God gave them, and they didn't destroy things when they're supposed to. You want to know why we're still a fighting sin? There's a whole lot we never got rid of in our life that we should have had. We're hanging on to a whole lot that we shouldn't even be in our life right now to start with. Old lady, I ain't pointing fingers. I'm just a preaching to the flesh of every man. If you're born again, child of God, there should be some things that ain't fair. That goes out to every one of us. I know I'm sitting in here with a people that loves the house of God. I don't deny that. I know each one of you. There's one knows you better than I do. I can look and think you're walking perfect and living right. You can look and think I'm walking perfect and living right. There's one knows more about me than anybody else. And he's the one sent this message this morning. Church, numbers may dwindle down, Barbara Griffin. There may be some that's desiring to let Absalom live in their life. And they're willing to hate the church and love the sin. But I'm going to tell you what. There needs to be more of us that loves the Lord more than we love the sin. We've got to stay right where we're at. We've got to keep preaching, keep proclaiming, keep standing on the Word of God. It's going to get harder and harder. I'm here. I'm not trying to beat you down. I'm here to lift God up this morning. It's going to get hard, David. You got a little old grandbaby that needs a papaw to stay with. Needs a mamaw to stay with. Maybe you got grandyoungins and youngins that need you to stay with. Well, you got youngins, stay with. Grandyoungins, stay with. Don't give in to that beautiful looking Absalom, because I'm telling you, he ain't nothing but death underneath that beauty. That's just beauty for a season. It's just for a little while. Are eternal. Don't you paint your youngins a pretty picture for just a little while. You show them something that's an eternal beauty that can't never get took away. We sung glory land. I'm thankful I got a place where there's no graves, there's no death, there's no sickness, there's no pain. Hey, all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. I'm glad what a day that'll be. And when my Jesus, I shall see. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through to the promised land. What a day that'll be. Say, preacher, you run two songs together. I'm preaching one Jesus, and it's all about Him. We got to be showing some hope in this world we're living in. We got to be bringing peace and not a false hope and not a false peace. Absalom's beauty only lasted for a short period of time. I told you he waited 2 years. And he come back after Amnon. He held a grudge and he come back and he got his revenge. You know how long it was before he rose up against David again? 40 years. 40 years. And you know what he done? He come back and tried to take his life over again. Say, preacher, I've been saved and in the church for 50 years. You want to know something about the old devil? He'll wait on you. He'll wait on you. He'll wait on you to remember how pretty he was. He'll wait on you to remember sin in your life. Hey, and the first thing you know, hey, he's going to tempt you and he's going to draw you away. He's going to say, you've been in this way a long time. And you've worked hard. It's time for you to sit down a little while. It's time for you. You're up 60, 70, 80 years old. It's time for you to rest and let somebody else take the fight. All he's trying to do is draw you away by your own lust. Hey, he's trying to conceive in your life something that's going to bring forth death. What does everybody want to hear? You sit down a little while. It's awful hard to try to live like that. It's awful hard to go. It's awful hard to do. Melba, the church needs you. Miss Gibson, the church needs you. Little old Miss Parham up here way up in her 90s, the church needs her. That's the good thing about having an eternal life. You tell me how you can get too old to fight. How you can get too old to stand. I'm glad I got something that'll keep me going. That'll keep the fight down on the inside of me. That makes me want to stand for God. Makes me want to keep going with Him. Don't you get to desire and sin. Don't you get to love your enemy more than you love your friend. I'm thankful for my friend this morning. I believe my wife's my friend. I believe a lot of yous is my friends in here. But I have got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I got a friend. It will never leave me, will never forsake me. And if every one of you gets took out of my life, I still got him. I told you, I do not walk alone, and I am not afraid.
When trials come my way, I'm not dismayed. God called me to preach. He called me to preach His Word. He called me to reprove, rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering. I'm glad He's called some other men. It ain't just me. It ain't just Matthew. It ain't just Matthew Sands. It ain't just Brian Sands. It ain't just Gerald Springs. There's still a lot out here in this world preaching the gospel. And I preached to you the other night, there's nothing righteous. I'm not preaching to you a bunch of perfect people. I'm preaching to you a bunch of people that's got a perfect God. Do we fail? Do we come short? Daily. I'd be ashamed to open up my life unto you. I'll just be blunt and honest about it. I'd be ashamed. I would be ashamed. But you know what? There was one that bore my shame. There was one that became sin. That knew no sin. And He shed blood that can cover every bit of it. I've thought all day, since this morning, I thought about forgiveness of sin. Godly sorrow leadeth unto repentance. If more of us would see that we're loving an enemy more than we're loving our friend, then we would be more repentant going on in our lives. Because it would bring godly sorrow. You'd see the one that hung naked and ashamed, and that you forsook in Him and turned your back on Him. And we've turned unto the one that caused Him to have to hang there. And we've loved our enemy more than we've loved our friend. Satan is your enemy. Your flesh is your enemy. The one that spread it out on Calvary's cross. The one that took my beating. The one that bore my sins. The one that got spit in His face. That's my friend. God help us when we can turn our back on our friend and we can serve our enemy and love him more. Satan never done a thing for you. Your flesh never done a thing for you but fail you and send us on a pathway to hell. But there was one. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This one that loved us enough to leave all of heaven, come and carry my shame, carry my sin, and lay it down on Calvary's cross and give up the ghost and resurrect unto new life. That's my friend. The one He went down and defeated in death is my enemy. The very one that thought He conquered him. The very one that thought He defeated him. My God turned around and conquered one day. And because of that, you and I are more than conquerors through Him. Don't love Absalom. Love you, God. Don't love sin. Love you, God. That sin just wants to bring death to you. It don't want to give you peace. Just because we look at it and say, this is the Father of peace. This is going to bring me joy. That don't mean it's truth. This Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This Word brings peace. This Word brings joy. This Word is Jesus. I wrote down two little questions
And I don't know why it seems like we've done that a lot lately. As I'm thinking on the messages, it seems like the Lord brings thoughts to me, just questions. And I wrote down, are we mourning the loss or celebrating the victory? Are you mourning the loss of sin? Are you celebrating the victory over death through the blood of Jesus Christ? David mourned the loss of his enemy instead of celebrating the victory of his God. We need to celebrate this morning, church, the victory that we have in Jesus. That's what God laid on my heart. It might have been different as far as what the world might think, and maybe as far as what anybody else thinks. That's what God gave me this morning. Been on her heart for a while, hoping that God would just, praying that God would just allow us to be able to bring it out the way He was assuring it to us. I pray this morning that you receive what God has for you. I love you. I appreciate you.